Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our sermon this morning is our first lesson for today. It's taken from the Great Sermon of the Lord, chapter 42, in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Reading there, verses 14 to 17. God says to the prophet, "For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, 'You are our gods,' will be turned back in utter shame." This is God's Word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the servant of the Lord about whom Isaiah wrote in chapter 42. This becomes more clear as we, this morning in our first lesson, witness Jesus, our Savior, give sight to the man born blind. But this is more than mere, though praiseworthy, giving a blind man the ability to see. There's much more here than simply the man went and washed and came home seeing. The Lord gives us a hint into the depth of what happened here in our first lesson this morning, comparing light and darkness. We also had that same comparison in Paul's words to the Ephesians, comparing light and darkness. That's exactly the comparison that God makes through the prophet Isaiah. Three readings, same God, same illustration, same truth. It all fits together, doesn't it? So perfectly. From eternity, through creation, after the fall into sin, God had watched humanity turn more and more away from Him. He stood by silently as man more and more relegated Him to equality with all the false gods and idol of the world. Among those idols, we could list self, thinking about what the Bible says about Adam and Eve. Are there any more perfect selfies that we could possibly look at? People thinking of themselves, taking their own picture in all their glory as they rebel against God. Among those idols, we could count those golden calves that the people commanded really Aaron to make for them as Moses was away on top of Mount Sinai. And for many years after that, God's people turned to false gods, and those false gods took over their hearts and their minds. For all those years, the Lord says, "I was silent for a long time. I've been quiet, and I held myself back. But the Lord will hold His peace no longer." Through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says that He will lay waste His enemies and that he will bring about a total radical change in people's hearts. When the Lord said, I kept silent a long time and held myself back, that does not mean, of course, that the Lord didn't know what was going on. It doesn't mean that all these things were happening, as the deists say, that God created all things and man and then just stepped back and let man do whatever he wanted. No, in his patience, in his way, and we have to understand Isaiah's words or God's word through Isaiah here in the larger context of God's promises and providence leading up to this. Speaking in human terms, God now says, I'm not going to hold my peace any longer. I'm now going to lay waste to my enemies because they have turned away from me. And what a startling picture God uses of himself. As a woman awaiting the birth of her child may be quiet in meditation, when those pains of childbirth come, she cries out and she gasps and pants. God says, that's where I'm at right now. Like that woman in childbirth, I cry out, I pant, and I gasp, and I'm declaring my judgment against my enemies. I will lay waste my enemies. It was time in prophecy for the Lord once again to reveal the servant of the Lord. And that servant of the Lord is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would come and lay waste to all of God's enemies. All of those kingdoms of men and of angels that set themselves up against the kingdom of God. He would lay waste those enemies who come and try to lure us away from our faith in Christ. Think of Satan and others. God's enemies are those who for centuries and will continue till the end of time to hurt and to harm God's people. The Lord says, I will keep my peace no longer. The time for action has come. And that action comes in God's word of prophecy of that Savior who would lay waste his enemies. The Lord would now, in this great chapter, reveal that coming again of that Savior. He would no longer hold himself back. It was time again to speak of his promise. The servant of the Lord came in our Savior Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God's devastation of his enemies is total and it is complete. In wonderfully prophetic form, God says through Isaiah, I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. The destruction of God's enemies is pictured in taking mountains and hills and turning them into flat plains. And taking verdant, lush plains and turning them into scorched, arid deserts. And taking rivers and drying them up, so the only way you can tell that it's a riverbed is by the islands, the dry land that is in the middle of them. And those pools, those oases that would be filled with that life-giving water that men would seek out in the middle of the desert, those would be turned into sand pits. So devastatingly total is God's destruction of our material and spiritual enemies in Jesus Christ. We note that this judgmental activity is an action of God. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. In some manuscripts, those verbs are in the perfect tense, which in Hebrew means they're a completed past action. And that's good too. That's right. Because in God's promise, what He says He is going to do is already an accomplished fact. And so Isaiah and the believers in the Old Testament would look upon God's laying waste His enemies in Christ as something already done. This is God's humbling of the proud. God will not share His glory with idols. God is not mocked. When you sow idolatry, you will reap God's judgment. He says, but those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back to utter shame. And no doubt, the words of the Lord through Isaiah find their ultimate and perfect completion when? At the end of the world. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all of His enemies who are already defeated in Christ will finally be removed from us so that they can no longer harm us. But when the Lord says, I will hold my peace no longer, I'm going to lay waste my enemies, there is also a message of redemption. It's also a message of changing hearts. And the Lord, once again, will keep His peace no longer, but says that He will bring about a total change. And that total change, again, comes through Jesus Christ. You and I behold that change. We beheld it this morning when the light dispelled the darkness. We behold it each and every day in our lives when we put aside the works of darkness and walk as the children of light. We see that light as Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And this morning in our gospel, we see it visibly and powerfully as Jesus manifests Himself as God and gives sight to the man born blind. God wasn't punishing this man for some sin or one of his parents' sins by striking him blind. He was born blind so that when he was an adult, God could reveal His glory in Christ by giving that man his sight. And more than his sight, that man said, Lord, I believe. I believe that You are the Messiah. I believe that You are the Savior. Jesus did come to bring judgment, in spite of what many people think and say. Think of Matthew chapter 10 where Jesus says, do you suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Or think at the end of our gospel lesson this morning where Jesus says, I have come to bring judgment. Jesus Christ came to bring God's judgment against His enemies. But He has also come to bring that change of heart to those whom He has chosen by grace to be His own. You and I were living in the darkness of unbelief. But God has called and chosen us through our holy baptisms to now see. As we sang in our hymn, we can apply to us. We were blind, but now we see. And that doesn't mean merely with these eyes, but it means with this heart. Blind by nature. Now, enlightened by the gift of the Holy Spirit, giving us the gift of faith to see Jesus as our Lord. You and I were living in the darkness of unbelief, although that's a day that most of us here don't remember because we were infants when we were baptized. But maybe some of you can think about that day like the author of Amazing Grace. A day when you took your inheritance and wasted it away, leaving your father's house and throwing it away in riotous living. But then by God's grace coming to realize the error of your ways and returning to your father's house and finding nothing but unconditional love and acceptance in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That unconditional love also preserves us in faith so that we escape the Lord's judgment that he spoke about in earlier verses. When the Lord says through Isaiah that I'm not going to hold my peace any longer, I'm going to lay waste to my enemies and I'm going to make some changes in people's hearts, he wasn't talking just about Israel of Isaiah's day. He wasn't just talking about return from the exile. He was talking about all the days till the end of time. The servant of the Lord will give sight to the blind till he returns again. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. The man born blind experienced a new reality that to him was completely different than what he'd had his whole life. Can we even imagine the joy that he felt when he said, I washed and now I see? And even more the joy when he said, Lord, I believe. The magnitude of God's work is impossible for us to believe by nature. But God has enabled us to believe it because we were spiritually blind and he has given us spiritual sight in Christ. The light of the glory of God shines out in the face of Christ in the gospel and takes away, dispels the darkness of unbelief in our hearts. The Lord will hold his peace no longer. I've changed you. I've called you. I have forgiven you all your sins. And that forgiveness is complete. I have worked that total radical change in your hearts. God saved his people. He washed away our blindness with his word, connected to simple water in holy baptism. Even if we were not old enough to remember our baptism, we do know that we did one thing. That when we came away from the baptismal font, our hearts were crying out. We couldn't hold our peace any longer. But our hearts, through holy baptism, were crying out, I washed, and now I see. Amen.